Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at aloramodernwellness.com. We are in the busiest time of year for college baseball, so I'm very thankful that Mark Etheridge for D1 Baseball is able to join me today to talk a little Mississippi State. We'll talk about the team. We'll talk about the coaching search. Let's start with the team. Let's actually start with the team that Mississippi State's playing game one here in the SEC tournament, Mark, and that's Texas A&M. I talked to every national guy before the start of this season. It was all like, we sure about A&M? We sure about – and everybody's like, oh, yeah, they'll be fine. What happened? Just in your opinion, what happened?
Yeah. I mean, the expectations were so high.
Yeah.
Okay. Return most of the pitchers, most of the hitters from a team that was one game away from winning it all last year. Jim Schlossnagel goes to Texas. Then what did they do? Well, there was a potential exodus. Mm-hmm. A lot of those guys were going to leave. The popular assistant, Michael Early, got the job. And as a way to keep those players. And we wondered, I mean, he's a really impressive guy, but he's a first-time head coach. And the expectations win it all. Mm-hmm. And that's tough for anyone, much less a guy who hasn't done it before.
Yeah.
They've had some injuries. They've had some struggles, but it just really hasn't worked. And as they go into this closing stretch, or potentially one more game, it's a question of are they gonna keep him at this point? Because when your goal is to win it all and you don't even make a regional. That asks some really difficult questions about the direction of the program.
So from the Mississippi State perspective, are they going to see an A&M team that's fired up and like realizing, hey, we've got to win this tournament if we want to play postseason baseball? Or are they going to see an A&M team that's probably ready for the season to end?
Yeah, that's the question. And before the Missouri series, I really felt like A&M had turned it around. And they would, because, I mean, they won a series at Tennessee, at Arkansas, mm-hmm. LSU at home. They were playing this. You know, they were playing like a top 25 team,
mm-hmm.
maybe better. And then they give up 6 runs in the ninth to Missouri in game one and really just mailed it in from that point. They got 2 hit in back-to-back days. Then they go to Georgia. And I mean, Athens is a really tough place to play this year with the way they swing the bats in Foley Field. That was going to be hard anyway. But Caden Sorrell, probably their best hitter. He's out. Looks like for the year now,
mm-hmm.
and they just really weren't able to get it done. And I do question, what do they have left in the tank? They had a superhuman effort from Justin Lamkin, who threw a 2-hit shutout, was 15 strikeouts to win that one game. You can't count on getting that every game, and they're just not swinging the bats well enough. I really think that Tuesday night will be the end for A&M. It's just one of those seasons that we're going to look back on years from now and think about the preseason number one who really disappointed.
From the Mississippi State perspective, a great finish to the season since the decision to move on from Chris Lemonis. They're 8-1. I'm sorry, 9-1. They've won their last 3 series, 2 of them by sweeps. This past weekend, I don't really know what I expected to have happen up there. I thought State would win the series, but after what A&M did to Missouri, I thought, well, maybe Missouri's got a little spark. No, not so much. I think they're ready for the season to end as well. And so you got a Mississippi State team that's playing really well. They've got some confidence right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a run you want to make in Hoover, because I think sometimes, you know, Lemonis was famous for like, let's just get out of there. I don't know what Parker's mentality is going to be, but let's talk about the postseason in general. How deep can a run can this Mississippi State team make the way it's playing right now?
Well, there's really 2 ways to look at this. Okay. So there's one perspective that is skeptical of what Mississippi State's doing, right? Because two home series, and then you go to Missouri, who holds their two of their best pitchers for Tuesday. But then the other side of this is they are playing a lot better and they are playing confident. And this is the team that you hope to see all year. And what if this is truly who they are now? Because that's a scary team to face. And if you've got a true ace and the way Sierra has pitched better, I mean, Ligon, I mean, you've got plenty of pieces in the pen and the offense is hitting the ball out of the park, which, you know, when Mississippi State has played well, the home runs have followed. And I feel like if that's who they are now, then yeah, they'd be a scary team. I think they certainly went into the series against Missouri kind of bubblish. Well, you can forget about that now. They're in the field. Now it's maybe they're a two seed if you go on a run. And I don't know if being a two versus a three is that much difference as what color jersey you wear, but still, you want to feel better about where you are as a program. And certainly with what Justin Parker's done, I mean, he's not only auditioning for the Mississippi State job, but he's auditioning for his next job, whatever it is. Okay. So if he goes on a run, kind of like Jason Jackson did at Alabama a few years ago when he took over for Brad Bohannon, they ended up having a really strong finish and he elevated his stock. He ended up staying at Alabama, got a big raise to do it. That's something that Justin Parker is, it's in play for him for that next gig, whether it's in Starkville or somewhere else.
Ace Reese just named the SEC Player of the Week just a few minutes ago. He had a monster weekend up in Columbia. I thought it would be between him and Hunter Hines. I thought they might give Hines the nod of him breaking the record, but no doubt Reese was very deserving. Is that the most underrated guy in the SEC this year? I don't feel like anybody really talks about him, and yet you look at his stats and he's top five almost everywhere.
He's really, it's the second half of the year, he's just come into his own. And I think because of that, you look at the numbers, they're incredible. I think part of it is he didn't start the year as one of the high profile guys. You know, he's a transfer from Houston, was kind of a more DH outfielder, and here he is at third base, improving defensively there. I think having him and hitting the way he is now kind of elevates the team because everybody around, if you're going to make a run in the postseason, you need that guy that people don't, that can't pitch to, that the pitching coaches have to build that plan around to, and Mississippi State's got one. And if he's doing that, then the people around him, both in front of him and behind him, are going to get better pitches to hit, and everything just kind of builds, right? And I think having that one guy, you look across the league, and Ike Irish is having that kind of year for Auburn. The Aloy brothers, really both of them, and you throw in Logan Maxwell, you throw in Brett Iredell, they've got a bunch of guys that do that too. And then maybe when Justin LeBron at Alabama's going, right? I mean, he's as good as anybody. And Mississippi State's got a guy like that now. And I think that's that. That if they're going to make a run and make this, you know, this what looked like a forgettable season into something memorable, he's going to be a big part of that.
Let's talk coaching search for just a second. And let's go back to A&M, though, because if A&M does decide to move on there, how does that affect Mississippi State's search? Stay having such a big head start, does that give them a big advantage there?
I don't know, because anybody that you're going after is still playing, and they're not going to. They're not really going to entertain anything, at least publicly, until they're done. I do feel like with if A&M opens, I mean, that's big checkbooks. They went big game hunting last year when it was when it was open. Tried to get Tony Tony Vitello at Tennessee. Made some overtures with other places, and then eventually landed on Michael Early. I think the question is, what will they do this time? I expect a similar playbook. I think they're gonna go after a big name, and if they don't, then you know that filters down. And from a Mississippi State standpoint, that's just more competition. You're gonna have to pay more if A&M's in the picture, and not that Mississippi State doesn't want to pay more, but you never want to pay more than you have to, and it certainly changes maybe that level of guy because everybody you have more suitors, right? So one thing I do want to mention about this is with the whole house settlement deal, there could be some people who might not be looking to leave under normal circumstances that look out across the landscape and think, oh, I'm not going to be able to be as competitive in this new landscape because I'm not going to have the financial support that some of these other programs in the SEC primarily are going to have. So maybe there's a coach who normally I'm good, I've got a good situation, I'm not even going to consider it. Well, now they've really got to look hard, and because of that, I think Mississippi State, it's an attractive job anyway. It's a destination job, but the question is, you know, some guys just you get comfortable, you're in a good spot, you don't want to mess with it. And I feel like maybe some of those guys might be a little bit more more interested.
Who is Brian O'Connor? Is what the Jeopardy question was right there. So it is that's a guy that you're correct. I think that, you know, 2, 3 years ago, he's really settled in at Virginia. He's not going anywhere. Now he knows that Virginia is probably not going to give the same commitment to baseball that Mississippi State would. Is that a very realistic option, in your opinion, for Mississippi State right
I
now?
mean, it's a great question. He's a, if you can get him, you hire him tomorrow. I mean, that's the deal. I just, yeah, that's a question. You never know what his situation's like. You know, a lot of times it comes down to family. You know, he's probably more my age, in his 50s. What do you want to do with, you know, with that those last, excuse me, last X years of your career? How do you want to spend it? Do you want this new challenge of coming in? And I do feel like there are some coaches, especially that have accomplished a lot, who can't, who would love the opportunity to come in and try to test themselves at the highest level. Because, I mean, you're probably going to have six of the top eight national seeds come out of the SEC. That's what we're projecting, and unless something weird happens, I think that's gonna happen. You're gonna have 13 regional teams out of the 16, and if A&M wouldn't have faltered, you'd have had 14. I mean, this is the big boys, right? So if you get a chance to do that, and you feel like you've always wanted that opportunity, then yeah, why wouldn't you want to come in and do it?
And it feels like for a state, like the tier B guys, and I feel bad saying tier B because there's some good coaches there, but Wazikowski, Walter, Fitzgerald, Pollard, these are all names that are like, it feels like if state misses on their first guys, that's the fallback option. It really does feel like state. And you think back to 2018, it was state went after Schlossnagle, they went after Dan McDonald, couldn't move them out, and they end up with Lemonis. But it feels like this time, even if they miss out on their first choice, they're still going to get a coach who has been producing at an elite level for some time.
And the landscape has changed. Now you've got the portal, now you've got NIL. The power has consolidated into fewer schools, and if you happen to be one of those schools, like Mississippi State is, you've got a really good shot to have somebody elevate into your role.
Where are you headed this week? What conference tournament will you be at?
I'll be in Hoover. Can't wait. It's going to be interesting with the whole 16 teams are all there, single elimination. I'm writing a story now on the stakes for each team. And as I've gone through this, I'm realizing that there are really not a lot of teams who can help or hurt their case. So it'll be interesting to see how teams approach it. There are a few who can help. I think Kentucky needs to win a game. They're probably in 13-17, mid-30s RPI, but you know how conference tournament week's kind of crazy. They could be sweating it out. So they play Oklahoma Tuesday. I think that's a game they need to win. And then from a host standpoint, I think Alabama, I think Ole Miss, I think Tennessee, I think Florida, all of those, if they have a good week and they do better than those teams I mentioned, and some of the other teams trying to get a host like Georgia Tech or Clemson or TCU or Southern Miss, I feel like there could be an opportunity for another SEC team to play their way into hosting.
13 SEC teams, you think?
I think Kentucky's the 13th team. Unless something weird happens, they're going to get in.
Yeah, and then A&M would have to probably at least make it to Saturday, you would think, right?
I think if they get to the weekend, it gets interesting. But I mean, they've got a lot of ground to make up. And honestly, I don't have enough confidence in that team being consistent enough to beat good teams that many days in a row.
I didn't realize this until my buddy Robbie Falk put it on his message board, but I didn't realize that that's the worst offensive team in the conference. A&M. I can't get wrap my head around that, knowing the talent that they had coming into the season. But
And considering how they've had some really good showings, that
yeah,
shows you how bad they've been.
goodness gracious. Well, Mississippi State first pitch is scheduled for 8 p.m. We know how the weather goes over in Hoover on Tuesday, so we'll see what happens. Mark, appreciate you, man. Enjoy your time over in Hoover, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, man. Talk to you soon.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.